again, and welcome to Supergirl Gab, the show where we watch Supergirl and then we talk about it. I'm Chris, and here with me, as always, is Katie. Hey, Katie.
Hey. How are you doing?
I'm doing fairly well, except for the fact that I don't think I like this episode at all, and I feel so sort of bummed out by how much I did not enjoy this episode that I was just kind of like, ugh, I don't even want to talk about this. Like, I was just like, because it's like, I feel like it's going to be a drag to talk about, because I was just like, I don't know. I don't like talking about stuff when I don't like it, generally, you know? And this episode, like, bummed me out because of, I felt like the last several episodes we had like some really good things going, and we were like had some good momentum, and then felt like a lot of that just totally got fizzled out in this episode. And I don't know if it was because there was too much going on, or what. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of it by the time we finish talking about it. But that's what's going on with me. That's how I'm feeling. So how about you?
So it's interesting because we'll get into the problems. And I was thinking about, like, specifically as we went in, like, very specific problems I had with it. But I'm actually more positive about this episode than you are, which is, okay.
Well, it's because, and I did not know, spoilers. It's because Mon-El has to go away. So you're just, on cloud nine.
So, and I think I've said, especially in the actual, not just in the recaps, but specifically in this podcast, which we started it, that it's not that I dislike Mon-El necessarily as a whole character. I really dislike the way they went about his character. And there's certainly specific things in this episode that frustrated me. I am mostly really happy because I totally called the "I have to go, my planet needs me" esque Poochie way of getting him out of the show, which it wasn't quite "my planet needs me," but he still goes into space, just arguably never to be seen again.
Oh, I would say that the way that ending went down with him being dramatically and shockingly, to his surprise, pulled into some kind of wormhole or something like that, I would say we're definitely going to see him again.
Yeah, probably. But it also says,
I just realized, I bet, especially because we're totally jumping right to the end, but yeah. I just thought of this, that bit at the end, he's going, when he does come back, I bet he will be, after he said that thing to Kara about, you know, I'm going to be the man you believed I could be or whatever.
Yeah.
The next time we see him, he will be totally
like an actual
superhero version of Mon-El. He'll have like the suit and everything.
Yeah, maybe. But so my point being is that, and I think I've said some actual good things about the character.
Yeah, you have. I'm just teasing.
I know. I still maintain that I think it would have been a way better take if they had been friends, because this would still have been heartbreaking. Like, pretty much everything that they, like, but it would have been just about this, like, really strong friendship between the two of them, which to me just feels like it could have been really, really good. And instead it was this very generic take on, oh, she falls in love. And again, we will get into some of the frustrating things that, the specific dialogue that made me go, excuse me, what?
There was a ton of just stuff where after they would say lines, I would find myself just having like, excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, it was all that talking back to the TV.
I'm interested to see, because I ended the episode, while there were some things I questioned, largely positive. So when you said, because wait, to be clear to the listeners, we did not talk before the episode about our feelings about this. So when Chris said that, I had no idea how Chris felt about this episode until we started this. So I, going into it, or like right after finishing, I mostly had positive feelings, even though I think a lot of it was from the momentum of this whole arc with Rhea. So,
well, let's get into that then. Yeah. Like, tell me what left you, what from this episode, and let's talk about it just from this episode and not sort of from the season as a whole, because okay. I would say the season as a whole, I have pretty positive feelings about, but this episode specifically, just, you know, left me with like a, usually when I get done watching an episode of Supergirl, I'm not like going, you know, I'm not like dreading having to talk about it. But this time I was just like, oh my God, I don't even want to talk about this, because I'm like in such a, you know, it's like, it just put me in a, maybe it's more on me. Maybe it's outside factors that I'm not really comprehending at the moment. But it left me with like a bad feeling where I was just like, oh, this is not even going to be fun to talk about. So let's talk about tell me about what you liked about this episode. What about it left you with a positive feeling? Because I would love to know, and maybe that'll kind of realign my, you know, my experience.
So, I mean, for me, a good amount of what I liked about it really has to do with Clark. I felt like, and I'm interested to see what you end up thinking about a lot of it, but I thought it was, we knew that he was probably brainwashed in some way. I kind of liked how they handled it, that it wasn't that he was just a robot, or, you know, like that they had made him into like essentially a robot that was going to punch Kara, but yeah. Tricking him into thinking that it was Zod. And by the way, apparently Zod's been cast in this universe. So
yeah,
that was
apparently.
A thing.
Which I was like, that's a pretty disappointing Zod to me. But I was not as good a job as they've done with some of the other casting in this show.
Yeah, that was just kind of a...
I was just like, that's,
I mean,
like
a real...
I guess
they're just assuming Zod's just not going to, like, well, we need a Zod. I guess we're not going to have Kara. And I mean, if they really wanted to, they can always just recast and pretend like yeah, that's totally
happen.
What his face looked like the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like I thought the fight scenes were really solid. The way that Kara and Clark both kind of wail on each other, it felt like an actual fight between like two human beings. But it just so happens that they have superpowers, so they're flying in the air more. But the way that they slugged at each other, it reminded me a lot of the fight choreography with Agent Carter, because Peggy in that show is very much a slugger in her fighting style.
Oh man, I feel like her. I was always way more impressed with the fighting in Agent Carter than I was in the, like, oh, I mean, I loved Agent Carter, and I feel like you are maligning
really?
Agent Carter by saying that this fight choreography like lived up to that.
I'm not saying lived up, it just reminded me more than it normally does.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I just liked that it felt like a very visceral fight. And again, maybe I'm giving it more credit, but I am comparing it to other things in the fights. Yeah, in the show. Yeah.
Well, I will say, like, I do totally agree with you that it definitely, like, it. I liked that you were really seeing them just have like a for real fight, and I liked the visceral of it, the visceralness of it, like you said, but the way that they shot some of it was like they just kept using the same two shots, like they'd cut to sort of like over Kara's shoulder, over Kara's shoulder, Superman rearing back and then starting to swing, and then camera cuts to over his shoulder as he's punching, and then it reversed that with her doing a punch. Like, and they did that back and forth thing so many times. I was like, is this like intentionally funny, or is my stream messing up and it's like showing it, like it jumped back by accident, and it just felt like they kept showing the same thing over and over. And then the fight with Rhea at the end also basically felt like they didn't have time to do too much actual like fight choreography. And also the people aren't trained for that kind of thing. And they were like, most of this is going to be like the CGI stuff or like when it's going to look like you're flying. So any of that fighting that was like on the ground, I did like that it felt like a slugfest, but it was the way that they just, it seemed like they were just doing the same thing over and over. And I was just like, how many times are y'all going to do this exact same setup?
It could be that it could have been just that the editing too, that maybe like the choreography itself was okay, but then the editing just didn't give it its full potential.
Right. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, so I like the fact that Clark gets kind of brought back to light pretty quick. I just didn't want like a whole episode. I thought that it was fun to do that. I liked later on when Clark specifically points out that like, yeah, you 100% beat me when I was at my strongest. She's like, well, maybe the silver crypt, which by the way, I love how it's just like silver kryptonite. That's totally a thing. And we're totally using it in the crypt.
Well, definition. Yeah. I mean, it's like the place that I've most remembered that from was that they used that in Smallville.
Has that been used as a thing in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
In Smallville though, I think it's like something like Brainiac makes it, and it's not like a totally legit form of kryptonite. Like it's a synthetic or something like that. But I don't remember what it does exactly. And then in the comics, if I'm remembering correctly, it would like give Superman hallucinations.
Yeah, I thought I saw a comic panel where after this episode airs, someone tweeted a comic panel that described that silver kryptonite was a thing. And I think that they pointed out like it's kind of great that the show just like goes, no, this is mind control now. That's what we've chosen for it.
I'm totally fine with that. And I like that, you know, idea, except for the fact that it's like, why didn't you just, if you've got something that can do mind control, why not just use it on Supergirl immediately? And it's just like, it's all stuff like that that bothered me about this episode. Things where it's just like, this is things happening that are just like plot convenience. Yeah.
And it's frustrating because there's an easy fix to that because they said that Clark went up there before Kara got up there. So Rhea could have just said, this was meant for you, but when your cousin came first, well, I had to change my plans.
Yeah, and use it on and both use of it them. All.
Like, or, but and, it's not- or like, and then I had to use it on, I only had enough for one Kryptonian. So
what do you mean enough though?
I mean, don't
it's not
know.
Like it's not like he had to swallow it. You just have
I'm just saying that's still that would have been tighter writing than what they did. There was I admit that there was some where it's like, why aren't you using that on Kara too? And blah 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 blah. But also,
what were they doing? Where was Superman hanging out? If the whole idea is that he thinks that Kara is General Zod. Like, what was he doing the whole time, all that other stuff? It also wouldn't stop. It doesn't mean that he wouldn't. The way that, and I'm just going by the way they explained it on the show. And yes, they could have chosen to, I'm not saying that they couldn't have explained all of this stuff away, but I'm saying they didn't. So that's what frustrates me.
Yeah.
And it's like, he still would have seen, if it's just, it makes him think that Kara is General Zod. When they do when they do those shots where you see what Superman's seeing and he's just seeing General Zod saying something, you know, dopey and bad guy sounding. Everything else is still the same. Like he sees those normal people that Supergirl's trying to help. Like he still sees them as normal people. The guards in the background of the scene of when they're up on the ship still look like the Daxamite guards. And it's like, he would go like, oh no, General Zod is here. But also, there's still a giant spaceship that I'm standing in, and Rhea is still a bad guy. I love that they tried to use, that they used something like kryptonite and, doing something like that. And I also, like you said, I love that they got it over with pretty quick and got to just, you know, not have that be the whole thrust of the episode. But it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, and I
can I do a little silver lining for the scene though, like for the opening scene. And it's something that I think is that Kara says later to like a version of two, but Clark says, this is my planet. These are my people. And that's like my favorite thing. My favorite thing is when Superman sees the Earth as his planet, because like that's the core of the characters that so many people don't get. So when they start off like that, I'm like, I know he's being mind controlled, but he's talking about the Earth as his home. And I love that. So even as he was punching Kara, that was like, oh, that's so nice. Like my, I think I, my notes include my boy, my sweet boy, Clark. I know I am being glass half full with this episode because, again, I know it has problems, but like there's so many little nuggets in there that I do like. So the fight scene, like I said, it does have some problems, but they do try to make the fight with Clark and Kara fairly brief and get him back in his right mind. I saw
like a promotional shot from this episode before I saw the episode where you could see him laying down on that thing in the fortress in the background of like a picture of Supergirl, and I was like, oh no, is this season finale also just gonna have him like laying down the whole time?
I thought about that too when we saw him, like, well, now he's gonna be his he can't help us.
We'll just see his boots the whole rest of the episode. Yeah. I wondered if they did that on purpose, like as a thing, like because they know they're like, yeah, we know we did that last season.
So we get a scene with Lena and Lillian, which I thought was a long time coming. And Lillian's like, I told you, how could you have trusted that woman? I told you to, I forget how she phrased it, but basically Lena.
She says, I taught you to be a scientist and to question question everyone and everything.
Yeah. And she said, no, what you taught me was to doubt myself. And I went like, yeah, pretty much. And Lillian's like, okay, fair. I did basically destroy your self-esteem every day of your life. That is something I did. I did appreciate the fact that Lillian seemed to be fairly authentic when she said, yeah, I did put other things in front of you like way too many times. When I had the choice between you and something ambitious I was doing, I chose not you too often. Yeah. Like that's surprisingly, it's still like the fact that she's saying it's so like matter of factly is still pretty crappy, but the fact that she actually admitted it was a little bit better. And then the box from earlier in the season came back. So
I completely forgot what that was even about. And it's like, oh right, it's that thing.
I mean, I figured it was coming back. I thought it was actually gonna come back like last week with the whole her helping them out. Yeah.
It made no impression on me earlier in the season, I guess, because it was just like I had no recollection of it really until it was like, oh right,
yeah,
that thing.
So Kara goes back to the DEO, which is apparently where they are okay to do their base of operations there now.
Sure, it's like, yeah, why not?
Look, and like I said, I like this episode better than you, but I'm going to say again, it had some questionable logic things at the very least, and this was one of the ones where I'm like, so they're okay to come back, all right?
Yeah.
Apparently they just didn't want to use the bar again. We have another scene of Wynn crushing on Clark, which
that was my favorite thing in the whole episode, was that part where like as soon as Superman like looks away and he just does like mouse that I love you. Like,
I really want, like, at this point, though, even if it's not, it doesn't even have to be, like, Wynn actually dating a guy, but it would mean a lot to me if he actually at some point just, like, addressed the fact that he clearly is not straight.
Well, I don't know. I feel like I am pretty straight, but think that Wynn's reaction to Superman is like exactly how I would be around Superman, but it's not like I want to kiss him. I mean, I kind of do, but not, not in a, I'm sexually attracted to you.
Okay, Chris. Okay.
Maybe a little. All right. So never mind. I guess I, no.
So, I mean, and it's just one of those things. Yeah. And I get it. I thought it was, I mostly liked that moment because he assumes that Superman wouldn't remember. And it's like, no, of course I know you. You're Wynn.
Yeah.
Your car is like super smart friend and like a super part of the DEO. And it's like, oh, he remembers people because he,
of course
because
he does. Because he's Superman. Yeah.
So, and then Clark meets, Mon-El, and he says the line, "You must be a good guy or else she wouldn't be with you." And I made the note, yeah, that seems to be the writer's justification all season two, which is kind of the problem. It's not even that I could have been sold on the character. I could have, and we've talked about this, but when their justification for him being a good guy is, oh, well, Kara likes him. I'm like, but you're writing her to like him. It's like, it drives me crazy because it's terrible. It's like terrible justification for a relationship.
Don't we have friends and loved ones who find, find some kind of romantic interest, or they find something in someone else that we just can't see.
Yeah, but the audience is supposed to see it because we're not completely omniscient, but we're supposed to be able. The point is that
we're witnessing everything.
We're witnessing everything.
Yeah.
And I still haven't 100% been there. The writers just did not do a good enough job of. They had him be so flawed for so long, and then they were like, well, now he's better. I'm like, you didn't really show that. Well, we're telling you he is.
Well, okay, so what if what it is they had always kind of, the writer's intention was that he was going to be this, you know, kind of, this guy who was going to be her friend, but like, you know, and wanted to do good stuff, but is also kind of a bonehead and like makes mistakes and, you know, but he's more there to be like pals with like, with Wynn. And then they were like, after he'd been around for a little bit, then he and, Melissa, how do you pronounce her last name?
Benoist? Ben, gosh.
That sounds right. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it's the French, because you think it is like Benoit.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
Supergirl. Then let's just say Supergirl. She, you know, and then she's like, you know, then she starts to be sweet on him in real life. And then she comes in and, you know, they're planning on getting rid of him or whatever. Because he's like a bonehead. And then she just comes in and is like, no, he has to be my boyfriend on the show now. I want him around all the time. I know. I'm just playing. I'm
especially
trying
because
to.
Like they set up that thing.
I'm
really
trying to
early.
Find some kind of fun idea to play around with here to make this episode more enjoyable for me to talk
sorry.
About. I'm just I'm
sorry.
Reaching
I'm not
at
making
straws.
It easy.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm just like I'm just frustrated because it's such a generic-y choice for. Like for an arc for this show, and the fact
wouldn't that make sense? She just walks in and she stomps her feet and puts her fist down on the table
of everything
and says
that we've
no.
Heard about this actress, that seems totally like what she would do.
She's like,
and not,
make him
and,
good now.
Yeah, make him good. No, but oh man, so they decide to do basically. I don't think it's Pon Farr, but I definitely was thinking was in terms of like, da, 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 da,
yeah.
Da. See if I badly sing that song from Star Trek, it doesn't count as us having to pay for it because my singing's so bad. But I was totally waiting for them to take out those like the giant blades that the. Like,
I wish they had just straight up used that music. That would have been so awesome.
Yeah, but that it was basically that where she's like, "I am challenging you to this ancient for the championship of Earth, and Mon-El is like, I would rather you not do that so that you don't die, and, or, you know, can you let your cousin do it? And Clark's like, no, she literally just beat me. She is the stronger fighter. She is going to do this, but maybe we can train for a few hours. Yeah. Which, like, okay, I guess. I mean, I kind of like the fact that they had some time, and so, like, the idea is like, yeah, let's just give you a little extra training to actually fight her. So my favorite scene in this, oh, well, before we do that though, we got to see more of Clark and Kat together. Oh, yes. which is still like my favorite thing. Just because Kat is just so flustered around him, and to the point where she has not seen Kara in months, but the first thing she goes is, oh, Clark, hi.
Like, caught her off guard.
Yeah, oh, I didn't realize
she expects
here.
To see Kara. Yeah, she's not expecting
true.
To see.
And then they have that big bit where she's messing up information about Darth Vader in her analogy, and both I like that it's that this joke is twofold. One, that both Clark and Kara correct
our Star
her
Wars.
Because they are nerds. Yeah,
yes.
It's lightsaber and also Darth Vader is the bad guy, and then Kat saying, I've never seen Star Wars,
considering that she's married to Han Solo.
Yes, and if you recall last season, there was that great bit where she's like, Kira, tell, you know, if Harrison Ford calls again, tell him I'm not interested. I don't date older men, and I definitely don't date married ones. it's so fun that they have those little jokes in. And again, the show likes to have that little fan service-y stuff in a kind of indulgent way. And just little winks and nods, and I really like that. But there was a part that got me very nervous though, because she says to Clark, that's why you and Lois never made sense, and Clark makes this little face, and I was like, what happened to Lois? What happened? Like, did they break up in the season and I didn't know about it? And then God, like, thank God for the later part of the episode, which is, again, my favorite, I think my favorite scene in the whole episode was when Clark is talking about, I forget, like, even why it comes up, but he says, you know, I'm always fighting for Lois. I fight with her in here, and he points his heart, and he goes, the people we love are another secret superpower. And I just typed, I'm dead. I'm dying and I'm dead. I am dead from all my feelings, because God help me, I love those two. And every time he mentions Lois in this show, it makes me so amazingly happy. Ah, holy crap, it's so good. It went to the point where I'm like, I really do want to see Lois at some point. I want her to show up, because, like, she's such a presence already just from the way Clark looks when he talks about her, that I just want to, like, I really wanted her to show up. I know that, like, in terms of fan casting, I've seen people mention Natalie Morales, who, I don't know, did you ever watch Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Okay. I like how you said that, like, Katie. but she was the one who ended up with,
Tom Haverford.
With Tom, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen people say that she'd make a good Lois. And I was like, yeah, that would actually be a really fun little cameo. I have no idea if they're going to even bring Lois in, but I feel like with all of the talking, like how many times she's been mentioned in the show, especially in this last season, I feel like there's potential there. So.
Did you know that, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but Tyler that plays Superman.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to put, because my family is,
Heuklin?
Yeah, my family's very German, so I want to put like the in Heuklin. I don't think that's how it is at all. Anyway, go on.
Probably not. But yeah. Did you know that he was in the running to play Batman in Batman versus Superman?
Oh, wow. I can kind of see it, but he'd be really young compared to.
Well, I assume, yeah, that this was. Like, well, yeah, and but he would have been sort of like closer in age to.
That's true. Yeah.
To what's his name? Whose name I also. Oh, shoot. Henry Cavill.
Yeah. I feel like there were like. I mean, I know that the joke is always that Clark and Bruce are often drawn like exactly the same, but they do look pretty similar. I feel like that would have been a very weird. Like their faces just look very similar. And maybe it's just because I've seen them both as Superman now, you know? So like,
yeah.
I have that like connection, but that, yeah, that would have been a very, very different dynamic between the two of them. Wow. But yeah, no, I just like every time Clark shows up on the show, and I know it can't be every episode. I know that like, it can't become like the Clark show, but the two cousins are so good together, and Tyler, I can't do it.
Hoechlin.
I know it's not even close.
Yeah. Not at
all. I don't know if it's even a German name. It just, in my brain, it seems like that. Also, I had a Knackwurst and Kraut tonight for dinner. So like, I am like specifically very, I'm in a very German mood tonight. Anyway, sorry. So, but no, he has such a great presence on the show, and he does some really good speeching. Like, he does a lot of good monologues so far. So I'm excited to see him show up next season, hopefully. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. And then there was that great little moment where when they were training, he said, "I learned that move on War World," and I'm like, "Oh, way to drop that yeah. little detail, Clark." What happened there? No, let's just move on.
Yeah. I was like, "That's from the comics." The like, yep. My wife was watching this with me tonight, or when I watched this one, and just throughout all of the things, it was like. I felt embarrassed because I was like at the places where the show was not good. Cause I've told her that this is mostly a good show, but then like every time there was something happening where it was just like nerdy or like something where something like that. And I just had to be like, I just kind of had to own it and be like, no, that's from the comics.
Yeah.
we nerds are excited about things like that. And then, but she also, she was like, when I was like, aha, that's funny because she's married to Han Solo. And she was like, what, in the show? And I was like, no, like Calista Flockhart is married to Harrison Ford. And she was like, isn't he like much older than her? And I was like, well, kind of, yeah. There was just lots of things this episode. Oh, one of my favorite moments was that in that first Lena and Lillian scene. When she comes in there and Lena is like really has that first kind of like burst of emotional, you know, kind of like firing back at her mom. And April was just like, is she trying to do an American accent? And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. It's normally much better. But I was just like, yeah, because like normally I don't even really think about the fact that she's doing an American accent. Usually she just pulls it off so well. It's like, you know, my mind's just not even thinking about it. But in that moment, I was just like, yeah, there's no denying that that was pretty rough.
Yeah. So
maybe that's part of why I've felt so negative on this episode is because I had that shame of like watching it with another person who has like maybe. No investment in it at all. And I'm just having to go like, yeah, I know this part kind of sucks. Or it's like,
why
yeah, I know
that
looks
last
cheap.
Last week was so much better.
Yeah. I tried to say that. I was like, no, really. I mean, normally show's pretty good. It's like, this episode is just. But I mean, I think there was, I mean, obviously the stuff, the kind of things that I nitpick or like the kind of things that bother me were present in this episode, regardless of if I had been watching it alone or not. The issue, I think part of it was just that it's like being, sometimes it helps, you know, when you're having to watch something that is not as good as it could be, and you've got someone else there. You're not just like yelling at the TV alone.
Yeah.
But then I think I am realizing that because it makes it feel better, because you're like, oh, at least I'm not suffering through this alone. But then also sometimes I think when you're going like, when it's like, this is a show that I like and I want to like, and I'm making someone watch it with me, and the episode is not great, you feel more.
Yeah, I've like, been there with other things with my partner where he'll be like, why is the show so dumb? And I'll be like, it's usually much better. He's never done this with Supergirl because he actually is into it like me. But I've had other things with him where I'm like, don't judge me. Don't judge me for this. It's much better normally. You picked a bad episode to jump in on.
Yeah.
But
April was like, she was like, well, you know, to be fair, most television is garbage, so it's not just this. I was like, yeah, you're right.
So speaking of another questionable bit, where so the whole thing with the box is that it's their plan B, and it was supposed to radiate the air with kryptonite so that it could, you know, so that it would rid of Superman and his ilk. And so instead,
remember how there was tons of Kryptonians last year?
Yeah, you think that they would have like I guess it was like hidden or something. Oh yeah, because it was hidden because they had to get in. The only way they could get into it was using Lena's blood. That explains it. But the bigger thing is that the box will radiate the air with lead, and they say, "Oh, it'll just be a trace amount in like that won't hurt humans." And I immediately said out loud, "Yeah, still not great for humans." Like how?
Yeah, I was
how
like,
trace is it? Because
pretty sure we can still get lead poisoning.
Yeah, lead's not good either. I've seen those old PSAs. I've seen all those health hazards about paint. This is not a good. I don't think this is a specifically smart idea to coat the entire world in. Okay, I did appreciate the fact that they had Lena and Wynn both working on the box so that Lillian didn't just go, oh, and we'll also do that with kryptonite too.
Yeah. Oh, but, I did love the part where she was just like, they're like, okay, it works. And she just immediately like snatches it from them. And it's like, all right, here we go. Turn it on. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then of course, I love when they do those things where it's like, yeah, we thought of the most obvious bad guy thing and have planned.
2 weeks in a row, they were like, yeah, we knew you would betray us. Yeah, like,
yeah.
We know your MO. That's why we had a backup plan.
I appreciate these are small things, but it helps, you know?
In an episode with some iffier things. I do like the part where Kara's explaining this plan of Lillian's and saying like it will, you know, kill all the Daxamites, and Wynn just goes, except for Mon-El, for a reason that you figured out, right? like except for our buddy Mon-El. And they're like, no, he will also die from this. He might live a few minutes longer.
Yeah.
Which was like, oh, that's helpful.
It's like, wow, thanks for
silver place. You get a few more agonizing minutes of existence before.
You know, here's what I don't get. This is what was really bothering me, and like this was like one of April's big comments where she was just not even so much like a comment as just like, you know how sometimes when you watch something with someone that is not really into it or has not been keeping up with it or whatever, and they're kind of coming in and then when you're watching it, it's supposed to be a serious moment and they start laughing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm totally agree with her on this. Cause she was like, what? Like he can't, like there aren't places we can put them. That's like, there are people in real life who have, things where basically like they have, you know, autoimmune disorders where they're, just the air, normal, natural air is toxic to them. And so we have things that you can do for them. We have hazmat suits.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we have bubbles that you can put people in where they can be healthy still. And it's like, y'all can't. And the fact that then he gets in his little spaceship, and before he even leaves,
he's okay. Yeah.
As soon as he gets in, as soon as the lid closes on the spaceship, he's fine. So it's like, all right, so then this would imply that there is things you could put him in. There are things you could build, places you could take him. Like, you're going to tell me that the Fortress of Solitude doesn't have something you
Chris,
could put him in?
We're getting rid of Mon-El. Why are you arguing about this?
I mean, these are small things.
I know.
But that just bug the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so comics where it's like, now it's... And again, I'm super proud of myself for totally calling the Poochie ending.
Yeah.
I totally called it. And then he was sucked into a black hole and I know he'll probably come back, or at least
I really hope he comes back like, you know, superhero style. Even if it's not for long, you know, even if it's just for like an episode or something, but I would just love to see them.
It'd be interesting if there was talk of like some space hero or something, and they maybe like hint at that for a few episodes, like maybe in passing or something, like some aliens talking about it, and then you find like that would make a really good winter break, like reveal.
Is
having this like setup of aliens talking about some like other space hero, and maybe them thinking it's like one person, but it ends up being Mon-El.
Yeah.
And then that being like the very end of the cut before the
If he comes back, see him first time he shows up in that costume would be very cool.
Yeah.
It's just those things where it's like it's one thing when you are just watching it and you're like, man, that's you could think of something better than this. That's dumb. But to have someone else who's like watching it and then not trying to be mean, but then just earnestly start laughing is like, oh man, that makes it just really casts a harsh light onto how ridiculous that plot contrives. It's like, oh, we just got to get him out of here.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Also, I love how often on this show when it's like, they come up with something and they're like, "This is the only option we have," and it's like, "Well, it's really the only option you've thought of so far." Like, what if Lillian hadn't found that thing and brought it to Lena, or what if Lena had been like, "I'm not going to work with you. I don't trust you," and so then they never told Supergirl about it. And also, does anyone else in the world want to have like a say before Supergirl's like, I challenge you to this, and if you do this, if I lose, whatever. And it's like, I just can't imagine all the governments like going like, whoa, we do not agree to this. She does not speak for us. Like, even if the president, even if like, you know, Linda Carter agreed to it.
And it was only four hours.
Yeah, it's like all that stuff is just like, whoa, like we can't get people to agree on what they're going to have for lunch at the UN. Like, are you kidding me that they're going to go like, no, we think, because there's no way that they wouldn't be going like, we have our own superheroes here in our country that we might kind of like to have her fight instead, you know?
Or literally like, why is it down to this one thing?
Or also, why is everybody not just shooting these Daxamites because their lead kills them?
That's like, another good question.
They're not bulletproof like Kryptonians are. Just shoot them. Like, a sniper could have ended all of this. Like, there's no law enforcement of any kind. Like, also, I assume that Maggie has just quit her job and is just hanging out at the DEO now. Like, because, like, all this stuff's going on and she's just hanging around watching. I know it's a TV show, but, like, just, I was like, just shoot them. Like, why didn't, like, I was, like, secretly hoping that, like, Supergirl was going to show up for that duel, you know, and then go, like, all right, I've chosen the weapon of handgun, and then just shoot her. Like,
Why does it have to be a fist fight? So I also really...
And why is the kryptonite blood, like, your skin wouldn't
that
stop
was
that?
So, I was laughing pretty hard. I think I typed, again, my note was, Rhea is full of kryptonite because, okay...
Like, yeah, and also that, it's like, okay. That's not how that works. It's not how radiation works at all.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. And then like, hey, you're cheating. you've broken the sacred rules. And she basically says, I'm totally cool with cheating, and so are my gods.
Yeah, then why are we even still doing this? Like, what's the point? Why is Supergirl standing around to, like, keep fighting her when she's already said, it doesn't matter if you beat me, we're going to keep doing this?
Yeah.
Like, Supergirl should have just, like, immediately gone, like, all right, well, I'm a bounce. I'm going to go try to save some people. Like, because this plan didn't work because you're a cheater. Like, all of this stuff is just, like, this is why this episode was, like, frustrating and a bummer to me.
Yeah.
Because normally... I
think it doesn't help that one, you, like you said, you had someone watching where you were seeing it. You're seeing the comic book esque kind of rough passes over of logic, but also the fact that I think that last week was so much more solid in terms of the, like, getting to a finale sort of, and the plot stuff was tighter.
Don't get me wrong. April likes comic stuff. That's good. She likes good comics. She just does not have the attachment to them that we do. So that, like, she is more forgiving of some of these things. It's like, if something is bad and it's hilarious how bad something is, it's like, she's not going to go like, oh, they're trying, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
no, to be fair, I've had to watch Gundam Wing with my partner, and he's really into that. And I have had, and I have done the what?
Yeah.
Why did that just happen? Like,
yeah.
There's literally, sorry to get off topic. There's literally a part in, like, the first, in the pilot of the particular one that Mike really likes, where this girl, like, gives a birthday invitation to the new boy at school, and he whispers, like, I'm going to destroy you, and it just walks, like, rips up the invitation and walks away. And I'm like, what the hell was that? And he's like, yeah, that character does that. I'm like, what? What is even going on? So I'm saying that, like, from, I can understand. Yeah.
We all have those things that we are willing to forgive. We're willing to, like, sort of turn a blind eye when it's things that we really, like, are invested in. But then when someone else, an outsider to that, watches it and is just, like, really, it's like I said, it just really shines that harsh light on it where you're just going, like, oh, yeah, I guess that's...
And I think it can be a bummer too, because again, we've talked about how strong the show's been up into the finale. And so to end on an episode that was okay, but not as good as the last few, like, even again,
just, it's, yeah, it's just the last episode even is, like, was so much stronger.
So Kara hits the box and they all die.
I like how they also, like, how somehow they all know immediately to leave. Like, there wouldn't be some kind of confusion. They all just, like, turn around and fly out. Yeah.
It is like a Monty Python-esque.
Yeah, exactly.
It did feel like that, where it's like, wow, they're just, like, yeah, they're going pretty fast.
Couldn't they still just get outside of the Earth's atmosphere and blow things up, though? I mean, it's not like they have to stay around. They could just still destroy us out of spite.
Yeah. Oh,
this is not a good plan. This is not a good plan at all.
Sorry. I also totally called the McGann coming to Jean's aid and bringing white Martians.
Yeah, when those white Martians show up and they just look like absolute monsters. It's like, yeah, April was laughing at that too. She was just like, oh, yeah, well, totally.
I'm sure that. Yeah, I totally.
Yeah, you did.
It, though.
Definitely.
So I was like, yes, another one to check off my tropes I knew that this show could not avoid using for this darn finale. And it totally solidifies the whole McGann and John being in a romantic relationship, which, again, because I know them as, like, a niece and uncle relationship,
I
am not happy about this, but whatever. At this point, I don't care. Like, it's not that I don't care.
Dream sequence he had, where they were, like, kind of, you know, they were talking for a second. And Martian Manhunter actually is a character that April loves for some reason. I mean, she just, for whatever reason, when I was like first starting to get her into like reading comics and stuff, she like really latched on to him. Then they were having that scene. She's like, oh, cool, Martian Manhunter's on this show. And they were, and you know, McGann's talking to him, whatever. And then when she kisses him, she was like, ugh, why'd that little girl kiss that old man?
Which is funny because the actress is like, I think she's in her like 40s. She's like 35 or 40. Yeah, when she was hired, people were like, she's playing. I mean, like, but that's the thing. She looks great. Like, she looks super good.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations.
But, yeah, congratulations. But it is that weird thing where it's like, technically, it's not that much of an age difference that you'd expect, but she also looks like she's about Kara's age. So yeah. It's this really weird thing of like,
and especially when you've got,
technically, it's not as creepy, but the fact that the character's name is Miss Martian and it's implied, granted, I mean, she's technically that like hundreds of years old, so whatever, but she looks like she's still in her 20s.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's like, congratulations to that actress.
Way to,
like,
yeah,
like,
you have, whatever you are doing.
Yeah, whatever you're doing, keep it up.
It is working.
I'd have to double check the age thing, but she's definitely over, like, she's definitely well over 30.
Yeah, so, she's born in 1972. Holy cow.
It's weird where it's like, yeah, technically the age difference, it's just that the characters, again, I know them very specifically as having like this familial bond. Like, yeah, it's basically very similar to the relationship between Kara and Alex with John. And maybe they were like, well, we don't want to replicate them. Like, but also it's not like he has a lot of that anyway. It's not like it was like that would take away from his relationship with Alex and Kara if he had another young woman that he saw as like, as a daughter figure. So I don't know. It just like, it bothers me just as a fan of the characters and that are in a different universe. And like, it just felt unnecessary, which is kind of what several of the romances on the show feel like. Not all of them, but a couple specific ones from this season. So
I'm trying to think of like, if there's any we actually need beyond
Alex and Maggie.
Alex and Maggie, yeah. It's like pretty much all of the other relationships.
I need to know that Lois and Clark are okay.
Yeah, at any given but moment. I mean,
of the ones that we've seen on screen, yeah.
Of the people that are actually like people cast, you know, like part of this show's universe, as opposed to just like people that drop in from their own universe of like Superman's got his own adventures going on elsewhere with Lois and such. I'm trying to think, but most everybody else, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I could give or take.
Yeah.
Or so definitely get rid
so
of.
So after Mon-El goes poochy on us, Kara is heartbroken. And Clark,
why did Rhea just turn into a, like, turn into dust like a
I feel
Buffy
like her,
vampire?
An actual, like, I feel like her just dying would have been better. And it would have been cheaper too, so you wouldn't have to use that special effect that was like, oh, well, that just happened. I don't know.
Unless they just didn't want to deal with a dead body. That like they didn't want to go like have Mon-El like having to go like, oh, I can't just leave my mom's dead body here. I've got to take it with me or something.
I guess, but whatever.
Kryptonite does not make Kryptonians turn into, you know, dust.
I mean, different chemicals.
And, yeah.
I mean,
I'm just thinking like they kept making that.
If we're gonna like argue the effects of kryptonite, we could be here all day because like apparently when kryptonite gets into Daxam blood, real things start happening. So like we could go off on some weird assumptions with that conversation. So Kara is, I will say, like, even though this wasn't Rhea's best episode, I do want to just praise Terry Hatcher again for being one of my favorite villains on the show. And I really like the fact that she got to have a very meaty, sinister role. Again, it wasn't her best episode just because because of the way the plot was, but I was really happy that she got to kind of go into this melodramatic, maniacal queen and be all campy. It's exactly what I was hoping that she'd get to do this season. So I was pretty, and it's way better than the ending bad guys from season one's finale. So
yeah,
I was pretty.
Why didn't she just teleport out? Like, they have teleportation.
Yeah.
From the ship to places. Yeah. Why didn't she just get out of there? Like, it sucks too, because you kind of, I mean, I'm sure it's like because they, you know, they couldn't guarantee that they could get her back or whatever. But it's like the kind of thing where I'm going, like, she's a real good character.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's a real good foil for Supergirl. Like, why just get rid of her?
Yeah, I agree. It's frustrating. So.
Hey, but at least Kat didn't die.
I know. I was, gosh, you put that in my brain. I was so worried. I'm interested to see. I really wonder if that I'm Cat Grant not going anywhere really was the show going, no, don't worry, guys. We're bringing her back next season. Like, I'm wondering how much she's going to be, because there was no indication that she was going to travel again. Yeah. So I'm wondering if they're going, if they've decided, like, okay, for season three, we really want you to be back.
Yeah, we got to shell out the bucks.
We're going to shell out the bucks or whatever.
Next season, there's no flying. It's just like all of that special effects money has to go to
she getting... loses her powers. It'll do that thing where she loses her powers for like a half a season. She'll be like Storm in the 80s where she just loses her powers and has to like...
Right.
She has to think of other things. And all the aliens have no powers either. And like all... Right. And yeah, Jean can't transform. Like, basically, it becomes just a slice of life coffee shop AU.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if it was just like they did half a season where it's just kind of like The Office, that would be, well, people would hate it, but it would be kind of funny. It would be kind of great.
Which makes it worth it.
Yeah, it would be kind of great if they could get away with that.
So Kara's heartbroken. Again, Melissa Ben, I think it is Benoist. But
that sounds good.
She does, you know, she does a really good job of, I don't want to say portraying emotions because that sounds really condescending.
No, she was
like,
great.
No, she, yeah,
man,
like,
she really,
I mean, she sells it.
Yeah.
The last conversation with her and Clark, I thought was really good too. Because again, Clark really stresses the fact that, like, I'm humbled by you. You are so strong. You're stronger than me.
That was kind of the thing. Like, as much as I I've talked about this at length, both in writing and on this show, like, about how great I think she is and how much I love the character and how, like, what a great job they do with the character. But it was like, it was borderline obnoxious, like, to me. The way that it's like, she's just standing out there on that balcony, and it's just like, okay, let's have one character after another come out and just tell her how proud they are of her and how great she is. And it's just like, we don't need these people to say these. It just felt like bad writing to me, because it's like, we saw what all happened. We don't need these characters to say these things to know, like, how much it took for her to do what she did. And when you just have it, like, I just started like rolling my eyes, because it was like, yeah, we know what happened. You don't have to like beat us over the head with it. It's like, do you think that we're not smart enough as an audience to like get the emotional weight of what has just happened to her without having every other character come out and just go like, you are so great. I never could have done what you did. You're better than all of us. And like, it just seems like super, like, not that it's like, I don't know. It felt like insulting. If it had just been one person saying that.
I can kind of see that. I thought that, because I'm trying to think. I think it was just Clark and Alex, unless I'm thinking of someone else.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but one was more than enough.
Yeah. I feel like with Clark, because he was about to leave, and this was like, and the fact that so much of the first season in particular was Kara comparing herself and other people comparing Kara to Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, or to Superman. I feel like there's worth in him really stressing to her that how much he sees in her. I do understand. I feel like they could have cut out some of the bits with Alex.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, if you'd had Superman saying that stuff to her, and it's like, you totally get where that's coming from. And then, but to Alex come out, have Alex come out and say basically the same thing. If it had just been Alex saying stuff like,
are you okay? Know,
just are you okay? Or I'm here for you. Tell me what you know, but it was like almost kind of the same speech. And yeah. I get that it was like, then that speech was in place for like Kara to say the stuff about, I need you guys to keep on, you know, the world yeah. keeps going, but like, that's not the issue. You know, it's like, that's fine. But like also to have them, and also the fact that it's just like, then she comes out on that same balcony, like they're all just kind of like waiting in line to go out, you know, like to have their turn to go say something to her. Like, just have that scene somewhere else. Have, yeah. you know, I don't know.
And maybe part of that too is like, it just could have been a more dynamic part, just like for there to be different.
There was like no emotional. Well, and the fact that then she leaves and then it's just like, oh, now here comes Maggie to have a scene out on this balcony. You know, like, did you guys not have another just where this whole episode felt.
That could have happened. Yeah. Like, so.
The whole episode felt like rushed. Like the, like literally like the production was rushed and like we only have, you know, however many days to shoot this. So we can't be like switching the scenes up, you know, like switching to different locations for everything. We don't have time to shoot all this. And you're like, all right, that's, I understand. But also it's like, well, if this is how things are going to do, maybe don't waste so much time in the season, earlier in the season with other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that middle where you guys were just kind of not really doing anything. Some of these things could, maybe this could have been a 3-part episode, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So
we get to the part that I actually had some beef with. It's when Kara goes to talk to Kat and Kat's like, the world's not dead. Why are you so bummed out? And she says, you know, I had a boyfriend while you were gone, and Kat immediately gets really excited, which is like not the greatest reaction to what Kara's about to say. And she keeps things vague, but she describes the fact that, you know, like she lost him, blah, blah, blah.
But also then she said that like Kara has never had a boyfriend. And it's like, remember yeah, when she was dating your son?
Yeah.
For starters, I mean, yeah, and also starters. Remember when you counseled her last year on what strong feelings she had for Jimmy?
Yeah.
And it's like, everybody just forget all of that?
Oh, and then she says, for the first time, I really like someone. And I just,
it's like,
and then I just put the note, so Jimmy really is chopped liver. Okay.
Yeah,
and this
exactly.
is where, so this is my biggest problem with the season, honestly. A lot of it I could get around. But the fact is that one of the biggest things was something that they did basically in those first two episodes. And we've talked about this a little bit, but I'm going to just stress it again, that we have this character of Jimmy Olsen, who I genuinely really liked. I like him as a supporting character. I liked him as a friend to Kara. I liked him as a love interest to Kara. And whether or not they just didn't want to have him be a love interest for her this season or whatever, they really did a terrible job of having Kara just decide that there is no chemistry whatsoever and then immediately forget that she ever like was on the cusp of dating him. And it is really, really frustrating as a fan of Jimmy, even in the show, for better or for worse, that even if they never got into a relationship, the fact that the writing more and more pretends like that never even happened,
yeah,
feels like it was fairly insulting. And the fact is that the character itself, as like the main, besides Jean, which is complicated because it's an alien who's you know, human form that he's chosen as a black man, which is slightly different from actually being a black man in the United States. But we have this, like, essentially the main black character on the show and how often he gets passed over, to the point where I don't remember if he actually was in this episode, if we actually see him fighting or not, or if the last bit of the season was him protecting Kat last episode. And I think that the show has done a real disservice to the character and to the actor, that they're not giving him enough focus compared to all the other side characters, not even Supergirl, because I get it, like, Kara is the main character and most of the storylines are gonna be around her, but there should have been way more attention, as much attention to him as a supporting character as any of the other supporting characters on the show. And we had, you know, just what, two episodes ago, we had a really great episode with him, so we know that it's possible. And I think they kind of half-assed the Guardian storyline. Some of it worked, some of it just didn't get enough focus. But even just the fact that they seemingly ignore the fact that Kara and him had chemistry at all feels like it's kind of salt on the wound. I don't know. It really, that bothers me a lot. I feel like it's really frustrating too when shows finish a relationship and then they act like the relationship never happened, like that there can only be one true love, or it just, and it feels like it's not doing a good job of showing that romantic relationships in the real world are complicated things, that you can still have feelings for people, or that it's never just, like, it's rarely ever one true, like, I don't know. It feels like a very simplistic and not very realistic way to portray romantic relationships, for them to keep forgetting that she's had, you know, romantic feelings for people in her life in the
for
past.
For numerous people. Enough people to make me complain about all the romance on the show.
Yeah. And I'm a person who likes romance, but that's the thing. I would have rather them actually address occasionally the fact that she and him have, even if it's just like, yeah, I'm always going to feel a little bit, you know, like be drawn towards him, something, anything, because that's how, like, real people in the world act towards even ex-crushes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which is even, like, at the very least what Jimmy was throughout the whole first season. So it's frustrating to me as a fan of the show, but also a fan of characters that haven't been treated super great this season, that, like, I still like a lot of the show, but that in particular, and then how that ties into the way Mon-El was handled and his relationship with Kara, just, there are so many things that I wish that had been done with more care, and a lot of it stems from the choices that they made in those first few episodes regarding Kara's love life.
Yeah.
So, in terms of the ranting I did for this episode, that was really like, that was like a seed towards the end that they planted, and what bloomed was a frustration flower.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really much I can add to that, because, I mean, you're pretty much right all the way around there. It's like, it sort of feels like maybe they did that episode a couple episodes back with him, you know, like, kind of focusing on him, maybe because they knew that, you know, the whole, basically the end of the season was like, he was barely going to be in it. But maybe not, you know, maybe that's just how it works out. I don't know. Maybe he's like, maybe they don't like the guy in real life.
I'm trying to come up with fanfics about the actors on the show, and I'm like, don't start rumors, Chris.
trying to get some heat going.
So the other thing that happened in that scene, though, is that Kara hears something bad happening, so she has to go be Supergirl. She's like, oh, I have to go meeting something.
I have to go. Excuse me. I have to do the most obvious thing in the world to make it. Like, yeah.
And then, again, one of my notes is I knew it because the scene ends with Kat going, basically calling her Supergirl after she's left the room. Yeah. So, like, goodness knows, I said, if she can figure out that Jimmy is the Guardian with that little, like, eye slit, she better be able to figure out that Kara is Supergirl. So, that was a nice way for them to finally do it. I'm still kind of frustrated that in season one, she had totally figured it out, and then they backtracked on it. So, if that hadn't happened, then maybe this would have been, like, a little more impactful, but whatever, I think
this was just to kind of let us know that it's like yeah, yeah. You know, she was choosing to, you know, let her keep her secret, you know, like we've talked about.
Yeah. So, again, I'm hoping to see Kat more often. I feel like,
oh, I loved in that scene at the end of that when she goes to, you know, to go take off as Supergirl, and she goes out to that different balcony. And, but there's clearly so many people back in the background through the windows working, like some of them even sort of like looking over in that direction. And I just imagine one of them, like, just, you know, walking to their desk and going like, oh my God, Kara just jumped off the balcony. Like, oh my God. Oh, she's killed herself, you know? And then like, oh wait, where'd she go? Supergirl.
There was totally the episode, the last episode with Clark, or earlier, the one, like the second episode of the season, they did that thing where Clark flies down and then immediately changes. But they had Kara do the same thing, but like in the office. But it was clear that there was like, it was an open door, like whatever room that we didn't see her go in was so like people could easily see her like quickly change. It's another one where you kind of have to have that moment of disbelief and know it's an aesthetic visual thing and like not think about
just
it too
go
much
with it. Yeah.
Or else it will completely fall apart. We don't get to, I'm surprised we didn't get another Lena scene, honestly. It feels like that was the other, it felt like they just didn't have room at the ending of the episode.
Oh,
but
talk about not having room at the end of the episode to just all of a sudden have Alex go like, let's get married.
Yeah.
And like no follow up, no nothing. Just like, I'm sure they're going to, you know, it's their plan for next season.
Oh, absolutely.
But like, yeah, oh, and then to just throw in that thing of like 35 years ago on Krypton.
I know. So
like, what was that all about?
So we figured it out actually. So, well, the funny thing was I said out loud, like, man, I wonder what that child, that third Kryptonian child was at the end. Maybe the fandom will be questioning it all summer. And Mike was on his computer and said, yeah, I just found it on Google. I figured out who it is. And I was like, oh, well, thanks a lot. Because like last season, we, you know, people spent the whole summer wondering who was in that pod at the end of the season, and Mike figured it out. So there's a line where the apparent cult that sent off a child, which, to be fair, is not like that off from the other people who sent babies into space that day.
Yeah,
on Krypton. Like, none of these things seem like smart choices. But so they say it will come to Earth and it will prosper. And they're like, and what will happen? It will rain. So apparently there was a character in 2012 named Rain.
Okay.
And it was a Supergirl. And I saw the costume and I, God help us, I hope she's handled better. Because I just saw the costume and I went like, yeah, let's hope that they come up with a better, if it's better than aggressively sexual Brainiac from season one, then we'll be okay. I'm a little, as long as they can do something. So apparently it's the character of Rain from the like New 52 Supergirl. Yeah.
That was a pretty cool character. Now was that it? Because
I never checked it out. Like I said, I looked at the Wikipedia page.
Now that I remember that she exists, I completely forgotten that she existed. But like, yeah, it was a pretty cool character.
Yeah.
I doubt that the version they will do here will be
anything like
at all. But
what? Like they totally got Mon-El comic correct.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
I think it might have just been because the company that I kept when I watched it was a little more invested in the show already than yours. So we probably let a few more things slide. I thought this was, okay episode of I feel like the finishing arc, if we're counting like the last few episodes, was stronger than last season's finale kind of arc, just because I had no investment in the husband of like her technically uncle or whatever and aggressively sexual brainiac. I did not care, whereas this one I actually cared about the bad guys and had some investment in what was going down.
Yeah.
So, for the end, like I said, I feel like the Lena relationship with Kara was some of the best stuff of the season. And it is a bummer that like, it just felt, I was really expecting that to be like, maybe for Lena and then to meet with Kat, because Kat was obviously going to give her like the big pep talk. It just seemed like, I don't know. I wonder if there was a scene cut out with Lena, because like she doesn't talk to Kara again. Then like, period.
Yeah.
Like it's really weird that I think she has a line to Kara when she's Supergirl about like, did you know Kara Danvers was dating Mon-El?
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh,
And did you notice that you look exactly like her?
Yeah. And you guys are really bad about keeping track of which one of you is dating the same guy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and they also had that like sort of that little shot of like Supergirl's eyes sort of darting over to Lillian. Why can't I say this? Lillian.
At least we've remembered now, but
yeah,
so many L names.
How hard it is to say. Yeah, it's like, why does she has that moment where they look over at each other, you know? And it's like, okay, so she gets it, but Lena still hasn't figured it out.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if maybe there was just a scene that was cut out, but I'm considering, for me, that friendship was such a core part of the season. I'm really surprised it didn't end the finale, or like, you know, had this little epilogue that they had include something with her.
Yeah.
But that being said, so we've talked about the show, the finale itself, and we've kind of vaguely talked about the season. I know you and I have had certain, like, we had certain rough spots with the season, but overall, it's been pretty solid. It's been different from season one.
And, yeah, for sure.
And I feel like they're still trying to find the sweet spot between like a super CW show and also what was already kind of established in season one. But there's more of it that I liked than I disliked. And I feel like they've gotten rid of the thing that bothered me all season. So I'm optimistic about season three. I'm being so mean to Mon-El, but seriously, like, there was only so much more I could handle with him. I think he's gotten better, but I just did not want to. I didn't really want to see him sticking around. To take a play from your book, I wouldn't mind it if Kara didn't have a lot of romance next season, just because we had it like crammed in there so much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
it'd be nice. Fine with me if it was all focus. Yeah.
way just more focused on adventure and, you know,
like friendship. Plus it would feel, and family stuff. I mean,
as you know, as kind of awful as this experience was, it would be kind of, it would feel like a little disingenuous, I think,
if she jumped
have her
back in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe not, but seems like kind of would be a little disingenuous, or, you know, but
I
also,
like it,
I mean, people
it would
make
have to be like a really special character to come into the show that
they're
could
gonna
convince
have to,
me.
Yeah, they're gonna have to earn it big time.
Or they could just get her to date Lena. That's always an option. Show, hey,
yeah, I mean,
I mean, she's right there. There was a really great moment, actually, and this has nothing to do with her relationship with Kara. I was just thinking of it. There's a really great moment when right before Lillian walks into the room, when before they have their like rough talk, where Lena is just looking at the red dress on the floor in disgust. That, yeah. I really like that little character moment. Because we talked about how great that dress was, but
yeah, I was
going to
say,
like,
it's such a great looking dress though.
Yeah. But the fact that she's just like so frustrated by like everything that's happened. So I wanted to just shout out, that was a great little character choice. But so I'm excited about next season. I am interested to see. I like the fact that they are clearly really invested in the queer relationship that they've set up with Alex and Maggie. I'm more convinced that they're not going to kill either of them off because they realize that would be a bad idea. And it's just nice that they're really invested in having that relationship. Even though it felt rushed for them to propose, the actual like where they are in their relationship, it felt earned. But that's all due to how well the show has set up what they've like where they are. That's more to do with earlier episodes than this particular episode. I'm thinking there's a line that McGann has about the upcoming war that you could maybe say was about like the battle that they had this episode, but I'm wondering if it's specifically talking about like for Mars, and they're going to actually do more focus on that plot.
I mean, it would certainly make sense, and it would give them an excuse to have stuff going on in outer space that would lead to, to Mon-El's return, like in a way that we previously discussed. Not that you're looking forward to it, but
I'm wondering too if they're going to actually bring in more magic based stuff, because I mean, the closest they came was the Music Meister, which was more sort of Batmite-esque shenanigans more than magic. But considering how magic is such a antagonistic element in the Superman mythos, I'm almost wondering if they're going to bring, because they brought in more aliens this season, and they brought in more really specific space elements, and it feels like this universe for the CW shows is their opportunity to expand on some of the weirder stuff going on. And again, just the fact that magic is such a big part of the weaknesses for the super, because they can only use kryptonite so much. They can't do it every episode. So no matter how much they try, they need to have other things. So it would be interesting if they had more magical foes and possibly even magical allies. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying Zatanna, like there's no setup for Zatanna, but I keep thinking like that would be a really interesting choice to bring into this particular universe compared to like the Flash and stuff. Cause I don't know if they're ever going to bring magic users into that one.
Well, they've got many magic people, and you know, they brought Constantine into,
oh, you're right. They did bring Constantine. I forgot about that.
Green Arrow and stuff. So
So maybe you're, maybe that's true. Yeah, I completely, because I was trying to think if there was any, if there were any magic people from the DC universe, but you're right, they did bring in Constantine. So I stand corrected, but it'd still be nice for them to, I think that there's some opportunities to go into some of the weirder stuff with DC, especially because the show is so tongue-in-cheek about the goofy elements to it. So, can you think of anything else that you wanted to say? I know, like I said, I know that you weren't super pumped about this particular episode, but, in terms of the final arc and this season in particular.
Let's see. I have had fun talking about this episode now, which I did not know if I was going to.
I was hoping that at least that would happen.
I don't feel any better about the episode itself, but it was fun to talk about it. So that's, that's a plus. And I do, I'm very positive generally on the show. I just think that this episode was, everything's hit or miss, I guess. And this was a miss with things. And it's like I have said the whole time is, these episodes and these places where stuff feels like it's not as good only bother me because we have seen how good the show can be. That's really my takeaway. I like the show. I only hope for good things for it in the future. And, I'll certainly be looking forward to seeing what happens next season. But yeah, beyond that, I'm kind of just like, but also it'll probably be that thing of where by the time the next season rolls around, my enthusiasm for it will be back up to much higher levels because I will have had some time away from it.
Yeah. In the meantime, though, we do have the summer. And you and I have talked about doing episodes of related media.
Other stuff, yeah. So
we'll hopefully see we can keep our enthusiasm for the Super Family
keep
in
it
our
going.
Hearts. Yeah.
I think we've got a lot of good ideas that we have kind of batted around. So I don't think it's going to be too hard for us to find super related things to keep gabbing about. But hopefully you guys listening have enjoyed this and want to see where it goes from now while we're waiting for season 3 to start.
Before that, because I know I sent it to you, but I don't know if you saw it.
Yes. Oh, goodness, yes. The crazy thing was I actually saw that. I saw that trailer, and I'll put this in the show notes. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But I actually saw that commercial on something else. I can't even remember what it was on, but before I saw that you had sent it to me, and then I was going to go like, oh, have you seen this? And then saw that you had sent it to me also, so.
Yeah, they also tweeted it out. Like, I think the actual Supergirl Twitter account actually tweeted it out too. But I was like, I need to find this somewhere so that I can show it to you. So if you didn't watch it
the official Supergirl Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Which I follow.
Yeah. So if for our dear listeners, if you didn't watch the show live, there was this little, and they had hinted at it, I think on Twitter too. They were like, oh, you better watch out. Like there's a wonderful thing coming. And, right. So it's a video that they showed as a commercial in the middle of the finale where it's in the bar because they love to use that set. And it's Kara walking with her regular costume, but it's to these boots are made for walking, and you see a shot of her boots, and the president is there as played
for some reason,
as for a specific reason.
Well,
as played by Linda Carter, and then Terry Hatcher, who is still alive at this point in the episode, is like staring at Supergirl. And again, it's a very like slow motion walk. And she says like, nice boots. And Kara puts her boots up on the stool, but turns out they're not the Supergirl boots anymore. They're the Wonder Woman boots. And she says, thanks. A friend of mine gave them to me. And then Linda Carter winks.
She's also got the bracelets on.
She has the bracelets.
It's like she she, you see, like, the Wonder Woman bracelet hand putting something into the jukebox, and then she's walking off and you're seeing the boots, and then it, well, it's like the Wonder Woman boots at first, and then it switches, and then it switches back. No, it's like it, like, cause she's, well, maybe I need to watch it again. I don't know.
Okay. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. But yeah. And then, and the cool thing is that those boots, I think it might be Hot Topic, or there's another like store that's selling Wonder Woman merchandise that has those specific boots, but then they also have like it, the like shin protector part of that boot actually like comes off. So for cosplay, I keep telling like cosplayers, like if you're trying to get a Wonder Woman cosplay, see if these work for you, because then like when you're not cosplaying, you can take off the part that clearly looks like a costume and just wear them as like regular shoes. It's super cool. And I'm surprised that they didn't actually like go at, available at Hot Topic, because, yeah.
Well, it was already a commercial for the, it was already a commercial for the movie.
For the movie, yeah.
Plus kind of a commercial for Supergirl.
And just like, and also Linda Carter's great. Like, I feel like that's just a commercial for Linda Carter. It was so extravagantly like cheesy and fan servicey, and I didn't care because it was, I mean,
it was totally appropriately all of those things.
Yeah, like, and the
it was just fun.
Yeah, it was really fun, and it was silly, and it was just, it was a nice little moment. It was a nice little commercial and a reminder that, like, hey, if you like this show, it's not, like, Wonder Woman's not the same thing, but you'll probably have a really good time. Like, that's clearly what the whole, like, go to it. Go see that movie. So that was, again, even if you weren't, like, super pumped about the show itself, that was a nice little moment. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yay.
Yay.
Uneven episode, uneven, but wholly positive season. And I'm excited to see more. So
yeah, totally. All right, Katie, tell them where they can find you, where they need to follow, what they need to do.
So you can follow me on Twitter at JustPlainTweets. I have a web series and another podcast at JustPlainSomething.com if you want to check that out. I always forget the rest of my stuff for this. No, I have a Patreon at Patreon.com/JustPlainSomething that I've been doing some extra stuff for. So if you want to see behind the scenes stuff for some of my writing, that's going to be coming up. Speaking of my writing, I have a comic out right now called Moonlighters that's out on Comixology and Amazon. The third issue is coming in a few weeks, but one and two are out. And coming up relatively soon, because we have new Steven Universe, Elle Collins and I do a podcast through her larger podcast Into It, but our podcast is about Steven Universe, and it's called The Crystal Clods. And I think that's, well, that's it. Fun. I think that's all my stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you do, Chris? Where can people find you?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at @TheChrisHaley. You can follow the show at KICTM Podcast. I have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/thechrishaley. All of the show notes and all that kind of stuff is at keepitclosetome.com. If you've got any questions or concerns or ideas for Supergirl stuff or just super stuff in general you'd like us to check out or talk about or consider doing something with, you can send those to us at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Put Supergirl Gab in the subject line. That way we will know that that's what it's about when we go to look for these kinds of things. Thank you guys so much for listening, for supporting the show. Thank you to everyone who has retweeted or just all those kinds of things. That's the stuff that is like the most helpful to a show like ours.
Let us know what, if you like it, and sharing links and stuff helps. And it just, we like knowing that people are listening.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's always a positive part of doing this.
Yeah, that's like a super good part. You don't realize how much you, when you're me, you don't realize how much you say the word super until you're doing a podcast about.
And then it becomes puns and.
Super unintentional puns, which even that one was not intentional. What? I just say that word
I
a lot.
I thought you were doing that to be ironic.
Nope, I'm just an idiot. I've just got a limited vocabulary.
Man. I think we're all supered out tonight, which is a good sign that this is the time to say goodbye.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you next time in National City or wherever it is we end up for the next episode.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Oh, no. Come on. That was not high energy enough. That was like a little bit too much of a downer. I think you can do it better.
So, wait. So, you get the whole episode to go like, oh, this show bummed me out. Oh, I feel so bad. And then I'm keeping up the positivity. And then I sign off with a quieter bye, and suddenly I'm not the one being enthusiastic enough. It's,
yeah, but you're normally bye, everybody's are so upbeat.
All right, should I try it again?
Yes.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Yeah, it's much better.
Yeah, and then, anyway, we should really just get started. I was going to be like, and then okay. My boyfriend's family is up in Munster, which is like in the corner of Indiana. But yeah, anyway, enough about regional geography, which is, I know, super interesting, but we need to get to talking about the superhero show we watch.
All right. Okay, here we go.
All right.